All right, well, I've been praying about tonight, and just can't wait to see what God does. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, we're talking about and learning how that we as a church body together can walk in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Not just the pastor, not just the leadership, but you guys walking in the gifts of the Spirit and allowing the gifts of the Spirit to operate through you. Amen. Amen. And so we've already started seeing some of that over the last couple of weeks. People stepping out and getting out of their comfort zone. Now, there's some things that I want to talk about to begin with before we go where God has instructed me to go tonight. And that is this. I was talking to somebody last week, and this is an excellent point that was raised. I'll tell you what. Before we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's go to Acts chapter 2 for a moment. Because I was asking this individual, I said, so what did you think about tonight? This was last Wednesday when we had a couple of different people, you know, give an encouraging word. And what this individual told me was something that I had never thought about before. And what he said was, he said, I'm not familiar with some of the people that are getting up to share. I don't know them personally. He said, but I know you, and I've been here for years, and so I trust you as my pastor to hear from God. And so for him, it was maybe a little more difficult to receive from somebody in the congregation because he's not familiar with them. Now, he's just being very honest about that. And that's not something that I had really thought about before. So how do we deal with that? How do you get to the place that you can receive from the gifts that are operating amongst people that maybe you're not very familiar with? Let me give you some instruction, some things that the Lord's been sharing with me about this. First of all, everything, God's going to take you back to His Word. Now, I believe that the gifts of the Spirit really will operate to their fullness in people that are mature believers that know how to hear the voice of God. Okay? Somebody that is brand new in the faith, that maybe just got filled with the Holy Spirit, and maybe they don't have the spiritual maturity yet to be able to distinguish between what is God and what is not. Okay, and we understand that. But I believe that, I know that everybody here is mature in the things of God. Amen. So, number one, I believe that those that'll stand up are those that are mature enough and that have learned to hear the voice of God. Now, the voice of God and the Holy Spirit is going to take you back to His Word. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will testify of me. That's over in John. Now, if the Holy Spirit is going to testify of Jesus, we find out in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then down in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, in 1 John chapter 5, it says there's three in heaven that bear witness. There's the Father, there's the Spirit, and there's the Word. Somebody say the Word. In Revelations, we find out that the name of Jesus in Revelations chapter 19 or chapter 20, it says, and His name is called the Word. So the Holy Spirit is going to testify of Jesus, who is the embodiment of the Word of God made flesh. That's right. Okay? That's right. Now, how can I trust what is being said by others that I may not be familiar with? I need to have knowledge of the Word of God. The Bible says that let the prophets prophesy and let others judge. Well, how are they going to judge? They got to judge it by the Word. So you may not know some of the people that get up. I mean, you may, you know, this may be your area, like, you know, Wendy bought and paid for this seat right here, I believe. Okay. So as a result, you know, somebody that bought and paid for a seat over here may not ever communicate with Wendy. But if you're taking the time to study the word, then you'll immediately know the voice of God, and you'll immediately know if it's something for you. And if it lines up with the word, then the messenger is not important. If you only set yourself up to receive from those that you like the way that they preach, you're going to miss a lot of revelation along the way. See, there are certain preachers and there are certain teachers that I really enjoy. For instance, I really enjoy listening to Andrew Womack. Okay. Now there's a lot of people that just think that he's too dry and they can't listen to him. But then there's other teachers that, and preachers that I don't listen to or that I don't enjoy listening to. And when you go to a minister's conference like this past January, when we went to, Kenneth Copeland's minister's conference, you have five different people ministering per day. Okay, so that's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So that's 5, 10, 15. That's at least 15 people, different people that are going to minister, plus the other ministers that decide that they need to get up and share something with you. So 15 to 20 different people. Now, out of that 15 or 20 different people, there's certain ones of those that I don't enjoy listening to. But I made a decision this time around when we went that I wasn't going to be listening to what they had to say. I was going to listen to what the Holy Spirit had to say to me through them. And what I found is one guy started it off and he was sharing something that he said something in passing that the Holy Spirit caused my ears to perk up and say, "That's for you." Now, that wasn't the focus of his message, but I heard something. Now, what if I had said, "I don't like this guy. I don't want to listen to him." I'll tell you who it was, as a matter of fact. I can't remember his name. Rick Renner. Does anybody know who Rick Renner is? Okay, you know who Rick Renner is. So Rick Renner pastors churches in Russia. But he's from America and just has in-depth knowledge of the Greek and things like this. So last year when we went, he started off by taking one scripture and breaking down. He had a big eraser board that he was breaking down every single Greek word for this scripture. I mean, you know, he was going through it. In the middle of that, I had to take a business call. So I'd left Jennifer there and I said, let me know how it goes. So I went out and I was on that business call for the rest of the message. So I came back in and he's done and I sat down by Jennifer and I said, "So how was it?" And she said, "If you ever leave me in here when somebody's going through Greek again, I'm going to beat you." You know, Greek and Hebrew isn't her thing and it's really not my thing either. Now, some people, a lot of those ministers that were there, eating it up. They love that. Okay? That doesn't mean he's wrong. It just means that wasn't blessing us. So when we come in for our first meeting on this January, guess who is preaching?
Rick Renner.
Now, I could have taken last year's experience, and I could have left, and I could have said, I don't want to listen to him. But, you know, we sat down and we listened. And he didn't go to all Greek and Hebrew and all of this on this message. He ministered transitional grace and how God gives you the grace for every place that you're in if you will follow him. It was absolutely excellent. But in the middle of that, God started a theme for me and Jennifer. He preached. Somebody else preached. Somebody else preached. And we heard words in each person that created a whole picture for what God wanted us to get out of that meeting. Now, all those individuals meant something else, but I went listening to the voice of God, not to the voice of a man. So, take what you hear, and because you know a person or you don't know a person, don't immediately shut off what you want to do. You got to have ears to hear, but not ears to hear what people are saying, ears to hear what the Spirit says. To all seven of the churches in Revelations, Jesus said, he that has an ear to hear what the Spirit says. You need to be listening to what the Spirit of God is saying. In Acts chapter 2, after they received, the first group of people to receive the Holy Spirit, verse 41, well, let's see. Verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done among the apostles. Verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. What I want you to see for a moment is, because what we're doing in talking about walking in the gifts of the Spirit is we're trying to model what God wants after the early New Testament church. So we can talk about the gifts, but we need to see what they were doing for the gifts to be able to flow freely among them. And what you see is that they weren't just going to work and then showing up every now and then to church. Learning about the things of God was a lifestyle. Amen. Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. How do you know the voice of God unless you become acquainted with it? See, Jesus, when he was talking to the disciples, he said this. He said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and his voice you will know because he is with you and shall be in you. Now, what was he talking about? His voice you shall know because he is with you. What was he referring to that the Holy Spirit was with them? It was talking about the Holy Spirit on Jesus that was communicating. Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say, right? And so they became acquainted with the voice of God because they were around it all the time as Jesus spoke. And so you will become acquainted and know the voice of God as you spend time in his word and get to know him more. The disciples, you know, they didn't want to get so distracted by doing things in the ministry that they stopped praying or they stopped meditating in the word. So what they did is they found people to help in those areas of the ministry. And they said, but as for us, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and ministry of the word. In other words, it was more important for them to have that communion and that relationship with God so that they had him flowing through them to minister to others. Okay? Now, Paul said that we should pray without ceasing. Amen. What I'm talking to you about for just a moment before we get into the things that the Lord has shared with me is how to become more sensitive to the things of God and how to hear with your ears, not these ears, but your spiritual ears, and to know his voice so that you will know as people, because I'm expecting more and more people to be able to be used by God, because that's what we all want. Amen. Amen. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The basis for what I've been teaching is out of 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, where it says, each one, when you come together, you have a song, a doctrine, a tongue, you have a revelation, you have an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. I want to focus on one of those tonight. In verse 7, But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. In other words, it's given to each person to profit everybody. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all of these work that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Now, what I'm going to do is I want to focus in verse 8. For to one is given by the same, by the Spirit, the word of wisdom, and to another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, typically, us Holy Ghost filled people, us Pentecostals, when we talk about a word of knowledge, then generally we think of it in terms of it's a word about somebody. You know, somebody's here with a sickness. Somebody's here, you know, I see this about you and that sort of thing. And that's accurate. That is part of a word of knowledge. But it's not limited to that. It's not limited to you getting insight about an individual. I want you to, sometimes I think that when we read the New Testament, we forget exactly what they were dealing with. We forget what their environment was like. They didn't have a screen that they could read the word. As a matter of fact, y'all are blessed because they didn't even have a Bible as they sat there that they could read along with you. As a matter of fact, they didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts because they were living Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts and all of that. So here they are, believers. I mean, think about it. How would you live? How would you live if you did not have the New Testament? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, we're blessed. We can go to the New Testament. But how would you live? How would this church operate if we didn't have the New Testament to go to? Because every one of these churches did not have it. But yet, the power of God flowed through their churches unhindered. Now, how is that possible? Because they allowed revelation, knowledge to come by the Spirit of God. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. He said unto them, But whom do you say that I am? It's always a great word there, that it doesn't matter what anybody else is saying about you. It's who you say that Jesus is to you. Amen. And Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now look at what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. This wasn't something he came up with on his own. This was insight. This was revelation knowledge that came by the Spirit of God. So, as I go through some scripture tonight, this is what I want you to be very sensitive to. What we've done for the last 2 weeks is I've taught, and then I've, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, we've flowed and we've allowed things to happen as the Spirit would move. We're going to change that tonight, okay? A word of knowledge. I'm going to talk about a word of knowledge and revelation knowledge and really what all of that is. But what I want you to be sensitive to while this is going. Because this happens to me all the time when I'm sitting and somebody's ministering. It happens to Dad. It happens to others. It happens to you sitting there. Is that while I'm ministering and while I'm teaching, you're going to start seeing things by the Spirit. You're going to get a revelation that may apply to your life or that may be a blessing to other people. I even had Abraham last week said, you know, I had this revelation that I thought I'd come up and share. I said, you should have done it. May still get him to come up and share it. What I want to happen tonight as I was praying about this is that as I'm ministering, expect for revelation knowledge to come. And then expect that revelation knowledge, whatever it is, think about it, and will it bless, will it edify the rest of the body? Because that's what the gifts are for, right? And then I want you, whatever that is, I want you to figure out how to condense it into 3 or 4 minutes. Because we have people in here that when they start going, they're going to keep going. But the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 14 that the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. In other words, you can shut it off. Amen. So, are you ready? Are you ready to be open to revelation knowledge? So, we're going to call it a word of knowledge, but it's going to be a word of knowledge in things of the Spirit. Not necessarily a word of knowledge about an individual. Now, we're going to cover the whole gamut tonight as far as from a teaching perspective. But I'm telling you, things are going to happen. People are going to get insight. Somebody say insight.
Insight.
Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus. In obedience to what you've told me, Father, we step out. I say that we have ears to hear, spiritual ears to hear. And Father, I'm making a demand on your word and the Holy Spirit and the ministry of a word of knowledge and revelation knowledge to people as they sit there and hear, as they're sensitive to what you say. In the name of Jesus, we mix faith with that. We believe it. We receive it. In Jesus' name. Now, as I'm ministering, if the Lord shares something with you, then just raise your hand. Okay? And if I'm right in the middle of a thought, I may complete the thought and then come back to you. All right? Is that okay? All right. I'm going to start out by asking Abraham to come up and give his thought that he had last week. This is about group participation, people. Glory to God.
Well, I guess I got to share this with you now. God. Last Wednesday I was working. I was in and out of an attic. Or actually, it was the day before. It was Tuesday. And I didn't even notice, but I got a splinter in my finger. The next morning, I'm working outside. And all of a sudden, I see this splinter ease its way out. And I always remember my mother would always say, you know, your body will automatically reject what is not, what is foreign to it. And God just revealed that to me in as an illustration of your spirit, man, will reject what is foreign to it. When the word comes, unless you have a foundation, unless you are in the word, it won't take root in your life.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
Under 3 minutes.
That's good. What you're familiar with, you'll absorb. But when you only absorb the word, then that which is contrary and foreign to the word, you will reject. Amen. I think that's an excellent revelation. Amen? Okay. Turn with me over to Acts chapter 5, I believe it is. A word of knowledge. What is a word of knowledge? Well, Sunday I was talking about a heart of a giver and how people just, whatever they had, they just gave just to help people, just to be a blessing. It was a thing of love, right? And so in chapter 5, verse 1, we have a certain man by the name of Ananias and his wife Sapphira. They sold possessions. So there was this whole move that people were just selling lands and houses and just bringing it and laying it at the apostles' feet. So Ananias and Sapphira, they got caught up in the emotion of the moment. They wanted to be like everybody else, right? And so they decided they're going to do the same thing. So they sold some land. And what they did is they decided, they sold a possession. Let's look at the next verse. And they kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and they brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, verse 3 says, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Stop there for just a moment. So what he did is he sold this piece of land, let's say for $50,000, and let's say they decided to keep $20,000 of it for themselves. And so what they did is they came to the apostles with a $30,000 and they said to them, we sold our land for $30,000. Okay? They didn't want to let them know that they kept back part of it for themselves. Now, Peter got a word of knowledge. He got insight. What is knowledge? Knowledge is understanding. Knowledge is insight into something. He saw something about this. As soon as it happened, the Holy Spirit revealed to him that what he said was not true. I don't think Peter had any idea what was about to happen. Because if he had any idea what was about to happen, he may have rephrased what he said. He said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Now, I find that interesting because Ananias was, in his mind, lying to Peter. There's a lesson for us to learn out of this. And that is, watch what you say to people, because what's more important is what's happening in the spirit than what's happening in the natural. And your words carry force in the spirit realm. And so what Ananias and Sapphira did, by speaking this word, we sold this land for $30,000. That out of the motive of the heart is what operates in the spirit realm. And when they said that, what they did was they spoke something that was not true to the Holy Spirit, even though they thought they were only talking to the church. That's how important our words are. Your words aren't just what you're saying to your neighbor and to your friend. Your words carry weight in the spirit realm. And to keep back part of the price of the land, look at verse 4. Now, he said, first of all, understand, Peter was not asking this because he wanted all the money. Why didn't you give me the $50,000? That's not what he was doing. He said, while it remained, did it not belong to you? And after it was sold, the money was also in your own power. See, the heart of the church at the time was truth through love. And whatever you want to do, do it out of love and be very honest about whatever it is that you're doing. And if you want to sell it for $50,000 and if you want to keep $20,000 of it for yourself, no problem. Nobody's going to judge you for that. Don't feel like you have to compete with everybody else with your giving. You do what God tells you to do and you have a heart that is true before Him. Was it not in your own power? Why then have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. It was so powerful. The power of God was operating at such a level in the church that, Ananias, when he heard it, I don't know if it was conviction, what happened, but he died just like that. And then his wife came in, and she died later. But it was a word of knowledge that caused Peter to say the things that he said. Now turn with me over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Now I think this is a pretty neat little story. Jesus went into Samaria, stopped at a well, sent his disciples on, and while he was there, this woman came. And so in verse 7, there comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away to buy meat. A woman of Samaria said, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." It was really, they looked down on Samaritans as less than dogs, lower class people, so they never talked to them. It was really against their culture to talk to Samaritans. Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says unto thee, 'Give me to drink,' you would have asked of him, and he would have given you of living water." And so he's going through explaining the everlasting life, and that I shall give in verse 14, I shall give him the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And he's talking about the Spirit of God just springing up into everlasting life. And so the woman says, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Verse 16, Jesus said unto her, "Go and call your husband and come here." This is where a word of knowledge is operating in Jesus' life. And she said, "I don't have a husband." And Jesus said unto her, "You have well said, I don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband." So in that, you were telling the truth, that you don't have a husband. Light bulb went on in the woman's head, and she said, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. And because of that word of knowledge, she went, she called everybody that she knew. They came out to see him. He was able to minister to them. The word of knowledge gave insight into her life, but it caused her to do something. And then when they came, they say, "Now we believe him because we have heard him, not because of what you have told us." See? So it'll produce great things. Now turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now this is specific words of knowledge as it deals with individuals. You should expect this in your life. You should expect to have insight and understanding. Now when I say insight, I'm talking about that you instinctively know on the inside of you. The way that a word of knowledge comes typically is it comes in the form of a knowing. You know something. It doesn't come in the form of words that you hear a voice that says, "This woman has had five husbands." That's not the way Jesus heard it. Jesus knew this. Jesus had knowledge of this. It was revelation knowledge. How did Peter know that Jesus was the Son of God? He just knew it. There wasn't a voice that said, "This is the Son of God." There was an aha moment. Have you ever had those, you know, where you just, aha, you know, something's just opened up. You just see something all of a sudden. You got to start expecting insight when it comes to other people. Insight. Look beyond the outside. Look beyond what you see. Because behind the smile in somebody's face, there may be great pain in something that's been going on in their lives. And if you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit will use you to minister to that pain and to cause healing to come to that individual. So don't be fooled by the outward appearance, because God does not look on the outward appearance. He looks on the heart, and he'll give you insight into people's lives. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, as Paul is trying to describe the use of the gifts in a church service, and then he's talking about, you know, whether that you should prophesy more than you should speak in tongues. He said, verse 23, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there comes into those, into your services, those that are unlearned and unbelievers, will they not say that you're mad? In other words, you bring a friend. Never heard anything like it. And all of us decide for 15, 20 minutes that we're just going to speak in tongues and just speak in tongues to each other. Your friend is going to leave thinking you are somewhat crazy. You have lost it. And what was happening, and what happens sometimes in church services, is people get so caught up in that, that they forget that tongues is for themselves. It's not for everybody else. See, and in a church setting, Paul was all about, man, let's edify the body. Let's build the body up. So the next verse says this, verse 24, but if all prophesy and there comes in one that believes not, or one that is unlearned, he is convinced or convicted of all. He is judged of all. Look at the next verse. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. So really the design for prophecy to some degree and for a word of knowledge is also for the unbeliever when they come in, is that something is ministered to, something is preached, something is said that will reveal a person's heart so that they will turn to God. Just like what happened with Jesus and the woman at the well. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. So, you will never walk in these things unless you start expecting it. Unless you start looking at people through the eyes of the Spirit and not through your own natural eyes. You will be amazed at the insight that you will get about people. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation. In what? The knowledge. Amen. Revelation. Revelation knowledge. Revealing things to you. Revealing things to you in the knowledge of him. revealing things to you in the knowledge of who he is. Let's look at the next verse. The eyes of your understanding. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. What does that mean? It means that there were things that were hidden from you that you could not see. And now your spiritual eyes, light has come in, and you see things that you did not see before. Let me stop here for just a moment. Does anybody up to this point have a thought about some of the things that I've been sharing? If you don't, that's fine. Remember, this is a place to step out in faith, not to sit. Glory to God. Maybe it's something that the Lord has shared with you this week. Okay, let's keep going. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Let's go back to verse 18. That you may what? That you may what? A word of knowledge that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, that you may know what is the riches of his glory. What is the riches of his glory, of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? The inheritance that is in you right now. Look at the next verse. And what is the exceeding, stop there, that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power. Now, this is what you need to get a hold of. A word of knowledge that will come will also come in the form to let you know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to you. Yeah, amen. Everything that the Holy Spirit wants to do is to reveal Christ, is to reveal what is on the inside of you, is to reveal what you've been given. You should walk every day expecting to get a bigger vision and a bigger insight into what God is wanting to do in your life, what he has already deposited on the inside of you. What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? And this is where it gets exciting. According to the working of his mighty power that he wrought in Christ. Just now you have to get it by the Holy Ghost. See, it's gone. That he wrought in Christ. When he raised him up from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. The very power of God that went into the dead body of Jesus created life in that dead body, restored it back, healed it. The stripes All of that, where the blood was poured out, was healed, was mended. Everything was taken care of. In that same moment, his body was changed into a glorified body. Hallelujah. So that he could actually walk through walls. The disciples had the door shut, couldn't let anybody in. Jesus suddenly appeared in the midst of them. What God did in the flesh of Jesus Christ had never been done before to any human being. That power that reached in there and caused him to exist both in the spirit realm and in the natural realm and gave him a glorified body and then took him up to heaven and then set him at his own right hand. That's the power that is working in you today. We must get a revelation of the knowledge of him in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I asked this a while ago if anybody had a thought or a revelation or something that the Lord has shared with them. I'm going to say, I guess at this moment, nobody really feels like that they have something that they want to stand up and share, right? Except for Pat. Pat. Glory.
Inside. Matthew. Didn't hear that either. In Matthew 28. Now we know Jesus had power, mm-hmm. but you know he lost some of it when Adam did what he did. Matthew 28, this is the only place you'll read this in the gospel. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, you think there's a difference from power and all power? See, all power has been given unto him. He now has all the power. The devil doesn't have any. Now, the reason it says over here in verse 20, which he wrought in Christ. He wrought, that means he brought it forth in Christ. When? At the cross? No. Work wasn't finished at the cross. It was finished for us when he was raised from the dead. Mm-hmm. That's when he got all the power. The power that the devil had, he got it. Mm-hmm. And what does it say? Above all principalities and power and might. See, he's got all the power now. And that's the power that's been given unto us. Amen. That's the power that he wants you to know that you walk in yes. today.
Amen.
And that's unlimited. I think it says that in here. That's it.
That's good. That's good. That's the unlimited power and the potential that we have. I asked Wendy, I said, do you have something to say? She goes, well, yeah, I do. I said, I knew you did. So, share.
Okay.
All power.
In the Message Bible, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, you're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. And goes on in verse 11 and 12 says, not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down, throw you out, or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a good cheer even. For though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into that kind of trouble. What it says is when they talk about you, when they say stuff to you, they're talking about God. They're talking about me to discredit me. Mm-hmm. He said, if it's not that you, when you give the word, that is you that they doing this, they trying to discredit me. So when you get your inside world, you'll see God working in your outside world. So this word that we're putting in, believe it and receive it, and we'll see God working in this outside world. And when they try to discredit it, it ain't all about you. It's all about Him. Amen.
Amen. That's good. Amen. Now, two things was said. All power. Jesus said, all power has been given unto me. And then Paul says, I want you to have a revelation of the power that has been made available to you, that same power, that all power that was raised up in Christ, or that was wrought in Christ. And then what Wendy said is, it's not you that's talking. When people are ridiculing you, making fun of you, it's really the Jesus and the power that's working on the inside of you that they feel uncomfortable with, that they are attacking, right? And so it's to get your eyes off of you and get your eyes on Him and the inheritance that is on the inside of you. So what did we get? We got two words that edify, that build up. Okay? Now, let's stand up for a few minutes and let's pray. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Thank you, Father. Father, we give you praise right now in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hannah, would you come up and play, please? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Neil, go ahead and bring your son up here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, revelation knowledge. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Just lift your hands up towards heaven. Father, we give you praise. Glory to your name. Father, we thank you for your love. Neil's son, little Neil, has been having little spikes, these little fevers and some issues with his ear. And we're just going to allow that power of God that's available in us to minister to him right now. Amen. Come here, Jen. While he plays with the iPhone, and that's okay. God will still heal him while he's playing with the iPhone. Which ear has he been having the most? Both of them? Yeah. Hey, buddy. How you doing? Just reach your hands out to him. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, we thank you for healing little Neil's ears in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, the ear canal is perfectly formed. No more fluid buildup in Jesus' name. No more infection in Jesus' name. No more spikes in temperature in the name of Jesus. He doesn't have to deal with this for an extended period of time. We declare that he is made whole and free from it now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to your name. And Father, we give you the praise. Amen. Amen. glory. Can you give me five? He's like, I don't know too much about that. Yeah, that's good. So give the Lord a praise offering for that. Amen. Now look, somebody may say, well, you know, there's only a couple of things that was said tonight. Take the teaching. You know, the more that I pray about this and the more that I see what God wants to do, the more that I understand that it is, we just simply let the Spirit of God do what He wants to do. We're not going to try to force anything. Not going to try to, you know, say, well, you know, I don't feel it, but something needs to be said here. No, we're not going to do that. Because there'll always be the opportunity for the teaching of the Word. You know, and that's what we always want to focus on. But the more that we move into the things and allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit of God, the more that we'll get these words that'll help build and help edify. And then, you know, the other thing is you have to know what God wants to do in this moment. You can't say, well, last week or the week before was great, and this week we got just teaching and not as much of a move. Has nothing to do with it. You're not looking for external signs. Unbelievers seek after a sign. We're not looking for the signs. What we're simply wanting to do is we're simply wanting to be in a position to be used by God. See? So make sure that you're not looking at that. You're listening to what God says. And if God didn't give you something to say, or if you didn't feel the prompting of the Spirit, it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. It just means that the teaching and the couple of things that came forth is all He wanted to do for tonight. And the other thing that I want to say, and I meant to say this earlier, I believe that sometimes we feel like we have to come up with something profound. And so maybe the thing that will keep us from getting out of our seat is because the thoughts that we have aren't profound and they're not deep. People can go so deep that they go off the deep end. You know what? One of the things that I learned about Jennifer is that there's been times that I'd be on the phone and I'd be counseling somebody and ministering the word to them, and then Jennifer will sit there and talk with them, and they'll say she'll say one phrase that like cuts through all these words that I used, you know, and I'm thinking, I'm trying to explain the whole thing to them, and she'll say just the one word that they need, and it's so simple, and it's the thing that they needed. You know, sometimes we can know so much that we don't say the things that are so simple. So if it's simple, that's probably better. Never despise the things that God would say. Did you have something else you wanted to... on the simple?
You know, what you started out with... You started out reading, talking about Ananias and Sapphira. And Ananias lied to the Holy Ghost. But he thought he was lying to Peter. Mm-hmm. And Wendy got up here and said something. What she said was, when people are talking down on you, they're really talking down on the Word. Mm-hmm. Well, see, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men. The Word, our words are spirit. Every time, you probably know this all the time, you just don't think it. Every time we say something, our words are spirit. We're talking to the Holy Ghost every time. Even though I'm looking at you or you or you. But that's what I just got from what Wendy said and what you started out with. Simple.
Very simple.
Their spirit.
See, just adds, brings it together, the words that you speak. And Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are alive. Start seeing that about yourself. See that? So there's an area of teaching right there. There's an area of revelation about your words that you take what was just said between me, Wendy, Pat, that really tells us, hey, we need to make sure that we're watching what we're saying, because we're not speaking to people. We're affecting things in the spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Father, We thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you for words of wisdom, words of knowledge. We thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. We thank you, Father, so much for your love. And we thank you that we are edified, that we are built up in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, next week, I'm going to have Brother Willett back here. He was supposed to be here tonight, but he had a business meeting at his own church that he had to attend. So he went to the business meeting, but he will be back here next week to give us another wonderful word and testimony as we get into the deeper things of God. Amen. Go out rejoicing. Hallelujah.